From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is professor of apologetics and scholar in residence at Houston Christian University, Nancy Piercy, author of The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, a podcast committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to your earbuds. And today, we're not only talking about someone who is interesting, informative, and inspirational, but someone who's brought a book to us that is the quintessence of those three parts of our mission statement. And it's a book that is directly needed for our epoch of time. Now, before I introduce Nancy formally, I want to read something that Jay Richards said about the book that is the topic for today's discussion. The title of the book, The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes. Jay Richards says this, and when Jay Richards speaks, I listen. I've had him on the podcast, on the broadcast. I've featured him in the Christian Research Journal. He is someone that I have such great respect for, and he says this about the book, The Toxic War on Masculinity. The first thing he says is, this is the very book we need right now. The world and far too much of the church are confused on the question of our sexual natures in general and manhood in particular. Nancy Piercy provides the decisive defense of masculinity rightly understood against distortions to the left and to the right. She shows why Christianity not only gives the best account of manhood, but also serves to form the sort of men the world and families need. And then he ends with this line, everyone should read, indeed, study this book. So at the very outset, before I've even introduced the guest and the author of this book, let me say that The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes, is must reading. It's written by Nancy Piercy. It's available for anyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But make sure you get this book and read this book. As is my habit, I go through the book one time in a cursory fashion, kind of speed read the book. Then I go through with a pentel and later with a highlighter. And when you do this with a book like this, you will have so many aha moments. Not only ones that are fleeting, but stick in your mind and then equip you to make a difference while there is yet time. So I'm a big fan of the book that we're talking about today, The Toxic War on Masculinity. The author, Nancy Piercy. Nancy, I mean, she has so many credits to her name. She's a professor of apologetics, one of the great apologists of our era. She's a scholar in residence at Houston Christian University. She's a best-selling author and speaker. Her books have been translated into myriad languages. Some of the books that we featured on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and on the Hank Unplugged podcast, Total Truth, Love Thy Body, and this book, of course, The Toxic War on Masculinity. We appreciate the work of Nancy Piercy. She's making a difference while there's yet time, and very, very pleased to have you on the Hank Unplugged podcast.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you again.
It is great to see you as well. I guess the first thing I want to say about this book is it's a very clever title. We hear the phrase toxic masculinity, but this book is The Toxic War on Masculinity. Whenever you come up with a title, there's always a story behind it. So I'm sure there's a story here as well.
Well, it's true. I wanted to get the words toxic and masculinity in there because, of course, that is the phrase of our day. But I didn't want to use the term toxic masculinity because I do not agree that there is toxic masculinity or that masculinity in itself is toxic. And so I did try to come up with some play on words. And I'm glad you liked it because not everyone quite gets it. Like, wait a minute, what are you saying? You know, that people always do sort of a double take. Though that's not bad either. So I did want to catch people's attention with the two words, toxic and masculinity. But to say that actually men are doing much worse today than they were in the past. And there is a problem now with the hostility that's being shown against men. I'll just give you two examples. When I told my class I was writing a book on masculinity, a male student shot back, "What masculinity? It's been beaten out of us." Huh. So even Christian people feel that masculinity is being demeaned and demoted today. And I also quote a psychotherapist who writes regularly for the Wall Street Journal. And I was really impressed with this statement. She said, "The young men coming into my practice today all feel demoralized and defeated because they feel like they're growing up in a culture that's hostile to masculinity." So that's what I wanted to capture in the title, is that we do have a problem with outright hostility against masculinity today.
Yeah, Nancy, before I actually get into the subject matter of the book, I want you to talk a little bit about your background, particularly the way you've been impacted by LaBrie and by Francis Schaeffer.
Oh, yes, very much so. It is why I'm a Christian today. So I grew up in a Lutheran home. I don't know if you know this, but all Scandinavians are Lutheran. My dad's Swedish, my mom's Norwegian, and it's a state church, or it was in the past, and it's like all Irish or Catholic. So as a result, the weakness of that is that often people rely on the ethnicity to hold you. And in my home, there was not a lot of really firm, authentic, personal conviction. And so when I was in high school, I started asking questions. Actually, just one question. I started asking, how do we know Christianity is true? I'm attending a public high school. All my textbooks are secular. All my teachers are secular. And I started simply asking, how do we know Christianity is true? And unfortunately, none of the adults in my life could answer that. I asked a Christian university professor, point blank. I just said, "Why are you a Christian?" He said, "Works for me." That's it. "You're a university professor." And I had a chance to talk to a seminary dean, and I thought I would get a more substantial answer from him. And all he said was, "Don't worry, we all have doubts sometimes," as if it were a psychological phase that I was going through. And so about halfway through high school, I very intentionally walked away from my Christian upbringing. I decided, I guess Christianity doesn't have any answers, and it's up to me to find out what is really true. And I literally started walking down the hallway at the public high school I attended and pulling books off the philosophy shelf, because I thought, if I can't get any people to talk to me about this, maybe these dead guys, right, these philosophers have some answers, because that's their job after all, right? A philosopher is supposed to answer questions like, what is truth and how do we know it? And is there a foundation for ethics? Or is it just true for me, true for you? Is there any meaning to life? And I quickly decided, if there is no God, the answer to all those questions is no. There is no meaning to life. We're a chemical accident on a rock flying through space. There's no foundation for morality if there's no transcendent standard. You know, I even realized there's no foundation for knowledge itself, because the way I thought of it was, if all I have is my puny brain and the vast scope of time and space, what makes me think I could attain some kind of universal, objective, absolute truth? Ridiculous. That's how I thought of it as a 16-year-old. Ridiculous. And so in my science classes, I also picked up determinism. In other words, I was taught that we're just complex biochemical machines, so there's no free will anyway. So by the time I graduated from high school, I had absorbed all of these secular isms. And it was a few years later, I was in Europe. We had lived in Europe when I was a child. And so all through high school, I saved up my money so I could go back. And in Europe, I stumbled across LaBrie, the ministry of Francis Schaeffer, which is known as an apologetics ministry. And I had never heard any apologetics before. I was blown away. I was so impressed. I had never encountered Christians who could engage with the secular isms that I had absorbed by that time, and who could show that Christianity had solid, good answers, that Christianity could be defended by good reasons and arguments and evidence and logic. So I was amazed, and it took a year and a half. I didn't want to give up the fight immediately, but I did eventually become convinced that Christianity was true. Because Christianity had let me down already once before as a child, I didn't want to rush into it quickly. I wanted to be absolutely intellectually convinced that it was true. And it took a year and a half, but I did finally come to that position. And that's why I teach apologetics now, right? I teach it, I write it. I really have a heart to reach out to young people who have the kind of questions that I had when I was young.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Nancy Piercy. Why can't we hate men? Ask a headline in the Washington Post. A trendy hashtag is Kill All Men. Books are sold titled I Hate Men, No Good Men, and Are Men Necessary? How did an ideology arise that condemns masculinity as dangerous and destructive? Best-selling author Nancy Piercy takes readers on a fascinating romp through American history to discover how the secular script for masculinity turned toxic and what action we can take to fix it. Be sure to read The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Here again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Professor Nancy Piercy, as they continue their conversation.
I have found as I travel the world that people desperately want answers, and that's why I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, because, I mean, you've given your life to giving answers and equipping people to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect, which is part of the mission statement of the Christian Research Institute. I want to get back to the subject matter of your book and something that you said at the very beginning of the podcast, where if you think masculinity is the problem, then emasculation becomes the solution. You alluded to that, but I want you to expand on that a little bit, because I think that's the heart of the book, in essence.
Yes. Well, one reason I wrote the book is because I was noticing how it has become socially acceptable to express extreme hostility against men. The Washington Post had an article titled, "Why Can't We Hate Men?" I thought, really? In a respected mainstream publication? A Huffington Post editor tweeted, hashtag, kill all men. You can buy t-shirts that say, so many men, so little ammunition. There are actually books with titles like, I Hate Men, No Good Men, and Are Men Necessary? And even some men are jumping on the bandwagon. There's a male author whose book is quoted sometimes, who said, talking about healthy masculinity is like talking about healthy cancer. And you may have seen this one. It's not in my book because it came out more recently. It was just in the news a couple of weeks ago. The director of the movie Avatar, James Cameron, was quoted in the news because he said, testosterone is a toxin that you have to work out of your system. So no wonder a recent survey found that 46% of American men agree with the statement, these days, society seems to punish men just for acting like men. And there was an even more recent one. Again, the more recent one's not in the book. It was done in Britain. 55% of men agreed with that statement. So it's going up. And so it's clear that even if you don't agree with that, that is a large percentage of the population who now think men are getting a bad deal. And so it is something that we need to pay attention to and find solutions to. And you're right, it's not emasculation. We have to find ways to affirm masculinity as a good thing. Obviously, God created men to be masculine as he created women to be feminine. And so we need to find ways to affirm that even in our modern culture.
Yeah, well said. Talk about the problem of stereotypes, the real man versus the good man. That would be a stereotypical statement that you would hear. It's a narrative, but there's a problem with that stereotype.
Yes, I put this right at the front of the book, and I'll give you some of the background to this. This has turned out to be the most controversial book I've written, which surprised me. I really thought my earlier book, Love Thy Body, would be the most controversial book because it deals with abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, which is such a cutting-edge issue today. But this one actually was more controversial. And I led classes on it. I led reading groups on it to catch all the rough edges, right? And when they would tell their friends and family about this manuscript we were going through, invariably the first question was, whose side is she on? Just with that tone, whose side is she on? Men tended to think she's probably some male-bashing feminist. And progressives thought, well, she's probably some defensive, angry reactionary. And so I put that study, the study of the good man versus the real man, I put that right at the beginning because it kind of diffuses that hostility, that opposition. This was a study done by a sociologist. He's not a Christian, but he's well-known. And so he gets invited to speak all around the world. And so he came up with this clever experiment. He asked young men two questions. First, he asked them, what does it mean to be a good man? And he said, all around the world, young men had no problem answering that. They answered things like honor, duty, sacrifice, integrity, do the right thing, be a provider, be a protector, be responsible, be generous. And he would ask them, well, where'd you learn that? They said, well, it's just in the air we breathe. Or if it was in a Western country, they would say it's part of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Mm. And then he would follow up with a second question. He'd say, what does it mean if I say to you, man up, be a real man? And the young man would say, no, 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 that's completely different. That means Be strong, be tough, never give up, win at all costs, suck it up, be competitive, get rich, get laid. I'm using their language. And what it means is that men are actually caught between these two opposing scripts. We would say because men are made in God's image, they do know what it means to be a good man. This sociologist said he was finding the same thing with Brazil, Sweden, Australia. Young men have an innate, inherent knowledge of what it means to be a good man. Or we would say Romans 2, right? We all have a conscience. But they do feel social pressure to live up to the script of the real man, which does include traits that we might consider more toxic. At least if it's decoupled from the moral ideal of the good man, it can easily slide into traits like entitlement and dominance and power and control. And so it gives us, I would suggest, a fresh way of dealing with these issues. Instead of calling men toxic, you know, not too many men respond well to being called toxic. Nobody would. So instead, what we should do is try to tap into their innate knowledge of what it means to be a good man, support and affirm and encourage that inherent knowledge of the good man. And that gives us a much more positive way to approach these issues.
Yeah, wow. You know, when you talk about this stereotypical idea of men today and the culture, the bashing of maleness and so forth, you get anti-male sentiment in the institutions that control our culture today. Educational, you're in the educational field. That's a hotbed for anti-male sentiment.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This is something I also had to put in the first chapter of the book, because people were often challenged me by, well, what do you think the differences between men and women are then? Because that becomes a hot point, right? As soon as you say there's differences, people will challenge you. Because, well, it is true that once you acknowledge a difference, it is typical for people to say, well, these traits are less than, you know, these traits are inferior. And so I start with just biology. Biology gives us the bare basics, right? Men are bigger, stronger, faster. Because of testosterone, they do tend to be more aggressive, more risk-taking. They even have more fast twitch muscles. That's a term I had to learn. It means they can react more quickly. And so these are good gifts from God. This is how men are made. And we need to affirm that God made men with these qualities, with these characteristics. And the reason, like I say, that many people don't want to acknowledge differences is because they're afraid that if we say these are good strengths of men, you talk about education. Even in a Christian university, most of my female students identify as feminist. And the minute I said anything positive about men, even men are strong, they would say, well, women are strong too. And so you'd have to immediately say, yes, yes, yes. But women, to some degree, have different strengths. And it's important, though, that we describe them as strengths.
Yes.
In other words, take, for example, our superpower, of course, is that we can have children. And having children also leads to certain character traits. We have more oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone, which makes women on the whole more nurturing. And taking care of an infant is incredibly demanding. You have to be willing to be interrupted any time of the day, even 3 o'clock in the morning. No matter what you're doing, you have to be willing to put it aside and meet the infant's distress. When an infant's distressed, you don't reason with them, you don't scold them, you meet their distress, no matter what you wanted to be doing at that time. And women become incredibly patient. They have to be incredibly sensitive to nonverbal cues because the babies aren't talking yet. And of course, they become very sensitive to threats in the environment. So they become mama bears. So it is important that when we talk about the differences, we talk about them both in terms of strengths, you know, the male strengths and the female strengths. So that kind of reduces some of the hostility that, you know, like I say, I get it even in a Christian school. You have to make sure that you are presenting both sides as strengths, as God-given gifts, that we should be thankful for these differences because they're from God and that we serve one another through these differences.
Nancy, you mentioned oxytocin. I found a fascinating part of your book where you mention that the level of oxytocin rises in men when they're bonding with their children. The biological change that takes place obviously is evident in a woman, but I was absolutely fascinated. I'm the father of 12 children. I did not know that was a biological reality.
Yes, I'm not averse to appealing to self-interest in asking men to be more involved fathers. You know, often that message comes across in sort of a scolding tone, right? I have a graduate student who's the leader of the women's ministry at a large Baptist church. And she said, on Mother's Day, we hand out roses and tell the women how wonderful they are. On Father's Day, we scold the men and tell them to do better. So that's why I said I have a section in there on how men benefit from becoming fathers.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Nancy Piercy. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Toxic War on Masculinity, How Christianity Reconciles the Sexes by Nancy Piercy. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.